1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to look at a story, a situation, where two hearts are revealed to us. So let us just read those verses before we say anything else. That it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto the fountains of water, and unto all the brooks, peradventure, or that means perhaps, we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we may not lose all the beasts. So they divided the land between them and passed throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou that my Lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, that is Obadiah speaking now, and he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they say he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and the nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go and tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, feared the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord? I hid 100 men of the Lord, prophets, by 50 in a cave, and fed them by bread and water. And now thou sayest, Go, tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him this day. So Elijah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. I want to talk to you this morning about these hearts of these two men. One of them had a good heart, one of them had a bad heart. Oftentimes you hear people talk about someone, well, he has a good heart, or that's a good man because he's got a good heart. What's the Bible tell us? Bible tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, we can fool people sometimes, but the Bible says God knows the hearts of men. In Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10, we read these verses. It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And most of the time we stop there. But the next verse says this, And I, the Lord, search the heart and test the innermost parts, and in the King James, I believe it says, the reins, which is the innermost parts of a person. God gets down deep inside of us. God knows what's going on down deep inside of us. You don't know what's going down deep inside of that person. You say, oh, they have a good heart. You don't know, like God knows, is what the Bible is saying. God says, I search the heart, I test the innermost parts, to give every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his deeds. And so, someone has said, you can fool a person sometimes, but not all the time. But the truth of the matter is, you can't ever fool God any of the time.
Amen.
And so, when we talk about hearts, we're going to be looking at these people's hearts. In Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 49, we read about some of the people there, I think it was the disciples there, who were disputing about who would be the greatest among them. And it says here that Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a child and set him beside him and said this. He said, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receives me. And whosoever receives me receives him that sent me. And whosoever receives him that sent me shall be the least among them, shall be the greatest in the kingdom." You see, if you want to be great, Jesus said, you shall be the least in the kingdom, then you shall be great in the eyes of God. But the thing I wanted to point out in that section was Jesus knew what was in the hearts of these people. Jesus knows what is in the heart of all of us. And as we look at Ahab's heart, we notice something. First of all, notice that this was a time of great stress and trouble. There was a drought in the land. And we see something here about this. He did not turn to God in his hour of need. He's like a lot of people. He did not say, "I don't believe in God." He didn't say, "I refuse to believe God," but he's what you have to call a practical atheist. Now, what is a practical atheist? A practical atheist is somebody who acts like there is no God. They live their life as though there is no God. They don't go around saying, "I don't believe in God." As there are many people today that you know and I know, if you walked up to them and said, "Do you believe in God?" They say, "Yes, I believe God." But you look at their life and they don't act like God exists. They get up every morning and go on their way just like God does not even exist. And Ahab was one like that. Their life revealed what they really believed. And notice here the Bible says they went in two different directions. Two different directions. You see, you can determine what is in a person's heart one of two different ways. Either you can see what is in there if God blesses them or if he brings trouble in their life. The Bible tells us, for example, in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4, we read this, "Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and the forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Your God is good sometimes to people, and they don't even recognize it. They don't even acknowledge it. God blesses people, and sometimes they're so hard-hearted, they don't even acknowledge it. They don't even recognize it. They don't even acknowledge that God's blessed them. And then the other way that God sometimes reaches people is through judgment. In Isaiah 26:9, it says that when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. You see, God sometimes has to get out of where we live and has to stir up our nest, as it says, has to trouble us, has to bring trouble in our life. And when he does that, if we're a child of God, if we are in tune with God, then we will recognize the hand of God. But Ahab did not recognize this. That's Isaiah 26:9. The next verse, listen to this, verse 10. "Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness." I mean, there are some people, no matter what God does, whether he sends good or bad, they just go on their merry way. They acknowledge God never by anything. And here we see Ahab just simply didn't recognize God. He was losing his animals. He was living in a mist of trouble and trials. And he was just going on. He was trying to work out his problems on his own. You know what? We need to stop and ask ourselves sometimes when we get in deep trouble, how do we respond to trouble? How do we respond to our troubles? Do we go to God and do we ask God to show us why we're in trouble? Is this trouble something that you are bringing to us to remind us that maybe we're not where we need to be, not doing what we need to be doing? We're not walking as close to you as we should be. Are we not obeying you like we ought to be? Are you ringing our doorbell? Are you reading our doorbell? Are you saying to us, hey, I'm out here. I want to talk to you. Sometimes that's what God does. That's what he was doing to Ahab. And you know what? Ahab had a deaf ear. He just went on his way. He just acknowledged God never, never. It's just like God didn't exist. I tell you what, you're in a dangerous situation when you get like that. That says something wrong with the heart. That says this, there's that heart, even if it's a heart that is given to God, sometimes that heart can get crusted over. You know, there's a verse over there in the New Testament. I think sometimes we think about these verses sometimes when we're little, but as we grow up and grow old, we forget them. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things would be added to you. We say, we need to teach those to the children. Listen, we don't ever outgrow those things. Sometimes we get so busy with our life. We get so involved in what we're doing that we just sort of push God off to the side a little bit. We won't admit that. Somebody comes and says to us, you know, you're not giving God his fair share of your life. We might want to argue. We might be offended if somebody said something like that to us. But go back and take that verse again and read that verse again and say to God, am I applying this to my life like I ought to? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? That says, is God in first place in your life? Obviously, it wasn't in Ahab's life. Proverbs 6:16-19. Says there are six things that the Lord hates. God hates some things. You know, I hear people say, oh, my God doesn't hate. Yeah, well, the Bible's God hates. Let's look at those things. Proverbs 6:16-19. There are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. By the way, seven is not the number of perfection or completeness. This pretty well covers, in other words, pretty well covers what God hates. And if God hates it, we better not have anything to do with it. What are they? A proud look. A proud look. You know, if we succeed enough in life, sometimes it can get pretty easy to be proud of what we are, what we're doing. What's the next thing? A lying tongue. You ever lie? Hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run to mischief, false witnesses that speak lies, he that sows discord among the brethren. See, he says, these are the things that God hates. This is a total picture of the heart of an evil man. That's a bad heart. Now, let's look at Obadiah's heart. By the way, let me stop and tell you, I did a little research on the name Ahab and Obadiah. Ahab, actually, we in the English-speaking world call him Ahab. The Hebrew is pronounced Akab, which means friend of the father. That's a strange word. But if you study his father and study him, he was friendly to what his father did. His father was a great wicked kingdom. His father was so wicked that he was more wicked than any kingdom before him. And then Ahab comes along and he is even more wicked than his father. So he was a friend to his father's ways. He just sucked in all the evil. What does that mean? That means that sometimes it's easy to sort of fit in on what or soak in what's around us. You know, a child of God can do that too. You're thrown in with some folks. You're thrown in a situation, your work situation, or where you live, or so on there, and you're thrown in with these people with bad hearts and the way they talk and the way they do this and that and the other, and if you're not careful, your heart might soak in some of that worldliness and turn away from the Lord. On the other hand, here's Obadiah's name. What does he mean? He's living up to his name. He means servant of God. That's Obadiah's name. Servant of God. He was totally different from Ahab. We see how he is living. Well, let's look in Matthew 7. The Bible tells us that we need, this is in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about bearing fruit in the 7th chapter, in verse 16. He says, "You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree that brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit or bad fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down, cut down, cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Obadiah was bringing forth good fruit. He was living a life that honored God. He was doing what God wanted him to do. Now, the reason I know that is because of what the Bible says about him. What does it say about him? Look in verses 3 back here in 1 Kings 18. It says, "And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house." Now, notice this. "And Obadiah feared the Lord greatly." Because he feared the Lord. Because he feared the Lord. He was that kind of man. He had a holy reverence for God. He was bearing good fruit. You see, that's so important that we have a holy reverence for God. People who don't have a holy reverence for God are not going to live for God. Judges 21:25 talks about in the day when there was no king, Israel, every man did according to what he wanted to do, lived the way he wanted to. That sort of talks about the way folks are living in America today. Folks just sort of live the way they want to. There was a time in America when people lived, if they weren't godly, completely godly, they were ashamed to be ungodly in public. But nobody seems to be ashamed of doing anything. They want to now. Just about anything goes now. But that wasn't Obadiah. Obadiah was a godly man. You see, the way a person lives is related to how they look at their God that they worship. If a person does not worship a holy God, they're not going to live a holy life. If they worship this world, then they're going to live like this world. It's just that simple. You live the way that you look at the God that you worship. A low view of God brings a low living person. For example, I just have to say this. What is fashionable today in women's clothes is ridiculous in the eyes of God. Somebody said, "Quit preaching, quit meddling, and get back to preaching." No, it's embarrassing sometimes. It's embarrassing what happens. People need to realize that God's people are different. They ought to be out of step with the world. Over the years, we have gotten in step with the world. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be made fun of. We don't want to be called old folks, old fashioned. We don't want to be ignorant. We don't want folks to make fun of. I'm going to tell you what. Your master, if you're a child of God, your master, your Lord, your Savior, they made fun of him. They cursed him. They talked about him. They did everything they could to him before they killed him. Who are we to be treated better than our Lord was? Who are we? And we have to make some major changes in our life. It's high time we did it. But I'm going to tell you what. It's not going to get any better out there. It's not going to get any better out there. And Jesus said, I want you to be salt out there. And rubbing salt sometimes stings. And if you have to sting somebody, then Jesus said, just go ahead and do my will. Be salt and light. Isaiah said this, the people drew near to God with their lips, but their heart was far from them. Well, there are a lot of people, if you talk to them, their lips, they talk about how they want to live for God, how they love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. But God says, no, their heart is far from me. Their heart is far from me. We can talk a good talk, but are we walking the walk? Well, Obadiah showed that he was a godly man by his actions. When Jezebel was killing all these prophets, Obadiah took this and 100 of them and hid them in caves. He wasn't just professing something. He was doing something to show he had a good heart. He was willing to put his life in that. If she had caught him, his life would have ended. His head would have been cut off. So he did something to prove that what he said he believed, he really believed. He was willing to invest time and money and his own life. It has always cost to follow Jesus. It has always cost. It cost Obadiah, and it cost everybody that truly followed Jesus. Talking about these 100 prophets, just a small handful. The large people have always been a small remnant. You go and find the crowds, that's not the large people. Jesus didn't have great crowds. Great crowds showed up when he took fish and bread, broke it, and miraculously could throw a big picnic lunch and feed thousands of people. But when he quit that, they all went home and quit following him. As long as he gave them something free, they wanted to come. But when he said, if you follow me, you have to lay down your life, you have to forsake others and follow me, it's going to cost you to follow me, they just took off and left him. I believe it's in John 6 chapter, somewhere along that, says, many of his followers left him because of his hard sayings. Jesus has some hard sayings sometimes. I mean, it's hard to swallow some of the things Jesus says. But if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you have to take what he said. You have to take it. The multitudes went away from Jesus. Just a small remnant. You're never going to be in a crowd if you're a real follower of Jesus. That's what he said. Think about what he was thinking. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's how you determine what's in a person's heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issue of life. Let's turn to that one. I want to look at something with you. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep your heart. Shield your heart. You shield it by not allowing things to get in it. I notice around here, you're very careful to wash your hands or use some of this stuff to keep your hands clean because you don't want to get sick. You protect yourself from germs. That's sort of the idea here. Don't let your spiritual life be infected with the germs of evil. That's what he's saying. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. what's in your heart's going to come out. Now notice, in these verses that follow, he mentions several things. Verse 24, he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. What is he saying? He says, watch out what you hear and what you say. Keep your heart. Watch out what you hear and what you say. What kind of music do you listen to? Do you listen to the jokes that people tell, laugh at them? That's what he's talking about. Watch out what you hear and what you say. Oh, I don't mean anything by a little joke. I know somebody said, well, I know every once in a while I let out a curse word. You know what the Bible says about that? Is it okay to curse? No, it's not okay to curse. And I know you're going to think I'm an old fogey and an idiot, but I'm going to tell you something. Your Bible, your King James Bible, says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edification of the hearer. No corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Now that's something to work on. No corrupt communication. Let nothing come out of your mouth that is corrupt. Never let somebody hear you use corrupt communication, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may help those that are therewith. We are left here to help. Cussing tears down people. But I'm going to tell you what. When I was a boy, the cussing that I heard and participated in a little bit, never bad, a little bit, ain't nothing like what is going on today. Nothing. And do you think God is not keeping up with it? Do you think God has turned the volume down? Do you think God is not interested in what's coming from you? That's what he says. Keep your heart with diligence. Put away what you hear and what you say. Number 25. Let your eyes look right on and let your eyelids look straight ahead. Watch what you look at. Watch out what you look at. Because your eyes are the gate of the soul. Once you look at something, once you look at something, it's imprinted on your soul. Everything we look at is somewhere down in here. And Satan can bring it up to our mind. And listen, I'm going to get real personal here. Women don't have the problem that men do right here. Guys, are you listening to me? Once you look at it, it's in here. And Satan is down there for Satan to use against us. Watch what you look at, God said. Verse 26, watch where you go. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet and let thy ways be established. Watch where you go. Where you go, does it honor God? Where you go, is that honoring God? That's what he said. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand or the left hand, remove thy foot from evil. Don't be led astray from thy godly path. There are folks out there who are always going to call you their friend, who are going to try to get you off the path of right and lead you down a side path. Always somebody. And it's usually somebody, you know, that you like, that you are friendly with. That's the kind of folks Satan like to use to get us off the path. Pilgrim's Progress is a good illustration of that. If you never read it, I wish you would. Pilgrim was the one that was saved by the grace of God on his way to the celestial city, and all the way on his journey, there were always people trying to get him off the path of honoring God. There's always going to be somebody out there trying to get you to do wrong. That's what he said. Don't let folks make you do something wrong that's going to dishonor God. That's what he's talking about. Ahab was looking for horses, feed, and all that kind of stuff. He was trying to take care of business. Somebody said, well, you got to take care of business. You don't take care of business if your business is business that's going against God's business. Did I say that right? That's what I meant. Business is okay if it's okay with God, but a business is not okay with God. It's bad business. And that was Ahab's problem. He was more interested in horses and mules than it was following God. And by the way, the kings of Israel were not supposed to be having horses. God had said, do not depend on horses, depend on me. You had to have horses to have battles against other kings, and God said, depend on me to defeat the enemy. Do not depend on your strength, depend on me. Ahab's life had been one of disobedience. He married a heathen woman. He set up false gods, false idols, turned away from God, did everything he could to defy God. Proverbs 29:2. Listen to this. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. You may not hear me preach many more times because I may flop over at my age, but listen to me. I'm not a prophet, but I'm going to prophesy. Right now, with Trump in the White House, we are right on the edge of God knows, only God knows what. I think we're in a testing time. I think God's testing us. We don't know what's going to happen this next election. There's no telling who's going to win this election. Well, some folks have said, oh, he's got it zipped up. Don't worry about it. You don't know that. If we get somebody wicked in the White House, this country is doomed and damned and straight to hell. I ain't heard nobody say nothing about this man right here. If you care anything about your children, your grandchildren, this nation, I hope to God you will pray, earnestly pray, that God will not allow some wicked leader to come in and take this nation over, because we're just that close to it now. The man we got sitting up there is just like a fence holding it back. I don't like a lot of things he says. I should keep his mouth shut. He runs his mouth too much to suit me. That's him. But he's holding back wickedness. But if he gets out of the way for some reason, I'm telling you, God is, he is sitting right up there watching America, and we are ripe for judgment. We are ripe for judgment. All the babies have been killed and all of the corruption that's in this nation. We are ripe for judgment, folks. We are ripe for judgment. This is no time to be tripping down the primrose lane and having a good time. This is time for God's people to prayer and pray and seek his faith and turn from their wicked ways so he will heal their land. This is time. It's time. It's past time. Past time. And the only way it's going to happen is for people with good hearts. Good hearts. And if you'll take this Proverbs here forward and work on that, follow that. And there's a, and I wish I'd looked it up this morning. You may know where it is. I think it's in Proverbs. It says, give me thine heart. You know where it is? It's in Proverbs, I think. He's not talking to the alien sinner to be saved. He's talking to the child of God. If God hadn't got your heart, He hadn't got your heart, you need to take time to deal with that. That's the main issue in your life. It's more important than anything else you can do. Give God your heart. Give Him your heart. Give Him your heart. I'll take care of all the rest of the problems you face. You get right with God about everything, I promise you, every other problem you've got will fall in line. Fall in line. I've just rambled and wandered around this morning. I know it. I hope you'll forgive me. I hope you will too. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you know what we need. We don't even sometimes know what we need to pray for. But we do need good hearts. We need to give you our heart. We need a clean heart. We need a heart yielded to the Savior. Lord, if our hearts are not right with you, if our hearts are not yielded to you, then, oh Lord, may we do that even now. May we breathe a prayer even now in our own private little place, right here and now, and say, Lord, here's my heart. Take it, seal it. I give it to you without reservation. Turn it inside out, empty it of everything that's not supposed to be in there, and fill it, clean it, fill it up with Jesus and all that needs to be there. And I pray this, Lord, and I pray for this nation. I pray, oh God, that you have mercy upon us and bless us, keep us safe, bless our leaders who are trying to do what's right. Confuse and confound the enemy who's trying to destroy us. Bless those, Lord, who have special needs here this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.